You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and IDE Computers. Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Hey, welcome to the Nerd Overload, the show that covers everything in pop and geek culture from Animorphs to Zach Morris. I'm Josh Harrison.
I'm Sam Dunham.
I'm Samantha Cross.
And I'm Cody Pinnick.
Boy, we have a great show for you guys. A bunch of stuff lined up here. As always, I think we're going to go around the room and talk a little bit about stuff we've been checking out this week.
Well, I've been playing Mario Party 10. The new Mario Party just came out. It's really good. I'm really surprised. They took it in a lot of interesting ways. It kind of develops on the last Mario Party where you all move together.
Okay.
On the board instead of separately.
Cool.
I haven't done Bowser Party yet, which is kind of the main
thing. New feature,
yeah. But the regular mode is fun.
Yeah, I've seen videos of Bowser Party, and it looks super fun for the one person playing Bowser.
Like, it's just been me and Samantha playing it, so I don't know how fun it would be to do Bowser Party with one other person.
Yeah, true.
It'd just be one person getting mad at the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Which happened last time.
Yeah, when I pushed you in the lava on that one lava minigame.
I pouted the entire game.
You did.
Aww.
Not nice. I do not play dirty.
But it's fun. The minigames are a surprising number of them have you hold the Wiimote sideways, and it's like kind of a Mario, regular Super Mario Brothers type thing.
Okay.
Yeah, they cut down on a lot of the stupid waggle the remote around minigames.
Oh, that's good.
Nobody likes those.
Yeah.
Amiibo mode is different.
I was going to ask you about that.
It plays like regular Mario Party where you all get to move around, but the board is really small. And you have to tap your amiibo on the gamepad constantly for some reason.
Tap.
Really?
Like, it's just a quick tap to register what amiibo you're using, I guess. But it's all the time.
Oh, that's weird.
Like, I can't imagine doing it with four people.
Yeah, you'd really have to pass the gamepad around. And
yeah, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it's something we're going to have to try sometime.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
But it's good. It's a good game. I don't regret purchasing it.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I was listening to Radiolab, and they had a story about wrestling. They talked about Bret the Hitman Hart. Well, they call it the Montreal Screwjob. Got screwed over.
Yeah, by Vince McMahon.
Okay.
It was when he couldn't decide whether he wanted to move over to the WCW or stay with the WWF.
Okay.
Back when they were separate things.
Yeah. From a long time ago.
And he finally decided he was going to go to the WCW because Vince McMahon made him start playing a bad guy, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, WCW was offering him, like, $9 million.
Well, that would make the decision pretty cut and dry, sure.
I didn't even want to go over what happened on his last... It was his last match with the WWF.
Who was he? Was it Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels, okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you know anything about Shawn Michaels, but he's ridiculous.
He's like the antithesis to Bret Hart. Like, okay.
I can start in the ring. I can't say it on the radio.
making a lewd
gesture with a Canadian flag. Here we go.
Because Bret Hart is Canadian.
That's a whole other thing. They like made him like anti-American.
Yeah, his bad guy character was anti-American, pro-Canada.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, and, like, they showed clips of people, and they were just, like, so mad at him and hated him.
And he used to be, like, this hero character that everybody loved, but they made him play a heel.
Huh.
Which is wrestling for bad guys. They decide, basically,
they go in, like, before the match, because they don't really know exactly what's going to happen yet, even the night at the match.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to decide, and they ultimately decide, because he actually wore a wire when he talked to Vince.
Yeah, for the documentary.
And basically, just disqualify you because they don't want to have the belt. I'm like, okay, let's, keep my head up. And
yeah, he didn't want to lose the belt on his last match because he had the championship belt.
Right.
He didn't want to lose it on his last match in his hometown.
Yeah.
But when first everything's going fine, and then
Shawn Michaels puts Bret Hart in his signature hold, I think it's called the sharpshooter.
Yeah,
and they ring the bell real quick, like he had submitted, like Bret Michaels had submitted, and he didn't. So he lost his belt. He didn't know it was going to happen. Vince McMahon screwed him over and took his belt.
Wow.
On his last match. This is a really good documentary. I don't even really
I know. It's like
wrestling.
This is... We're not doing it justice at all. Maybe no. This is a mistake.
Yeah.
But no, after the fight, apparently Vince locks himself in his room, but apparently gets in, punches him in the face, and knocks him out. Uh-huh. And the next night, or was it the next week? I don't remember.
But no, next time wrestling was on.
Yeah. Well, he shows Vince basically, that's when he changes, because before he was just kind of like an announcer, and nobody really knew that he actually owned it.
Right.
That's when he like changed and got to like more of the Vince you know today.
Yeah, the character of Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Basically like, you know, Brett screwed Brett. We didn't do anything. He's his own fault.
But it was totally Vince McMahon's fault.
Wow. Now, where can you find this documentary?
It's on, we watch it on Hulu.
Okay, what was it called again?
Is it Hitman Hart Wrestling with Shadows?
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that's something I'm about to check out because the early wrestling stuff, that's always been kind of fascinating to me. I've never really been into it other than, you know, joking about like Randy Savage and stuff. But
yeah, it's a little bit after that time because
yeah,
it was
yeah.
right before when the WWF started getting real adult and
yeah.
smutty. That was another reason why Bret Hart wanted out, because it was turning into something his kids couldn't watch anymore.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, I'll have to check that out. That sounds really interesting.
Let's see here. I've done a few things this week. I got Princess Leia, #1 from Marvel Comics. I finally got my hands on that one. It's interesting. It takes place, like, soon as, like, right after the credits start at the end of the original Star Wars film. Like, right at the Yavin Metal ceremony. Like, as soon as, like, it would have gone to credits. Like, it showed, like, very first panel shows, like, Chewie doing his Wookiee roar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, it goes into what's going on in the comic. And basically, Leia's, like, doing a, kind of talking about, you know, the people of Alderaan, and it's, you know, all sad and stuff that her planet got blown up. But people, like, in the crowd are kind of murmuring. They're calling her, like, Ice Princess and stuff like that, because she's not really showing emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the rebel leadership decides they have to immediately move, because now that the Empire knows where their base is, they have to go find a new place. And they're sending, like, scouting crews out everywhere to go find places to go. And Leia's sitting there talking, like, you know, give me something to do, give me something to do. And the one guy, I can't remember his name, is basically talking about how they can't do that because the Empire has put a price on her head, and basically the price on any citizen of Alderaan that was off-world. So basically, she has to stay, like, you know, hidden away, and she doesn't like that idea. So she ends up getting with this female rebel pilot who's also from Alderaan, and she's all... I can't tell if she's doing it sarcastically or if she's actually doing it, but she's trying to follow royal protocol or whatever. She's all the time, like, addressing her as her majesty and bowing and stuff like that, and she's like, don't do that, don't do that. And this pilot keeps telling her, well, if I don't, not only is our world gone, but that means our ways are gone, too.
Okay.
Huh.
But basically, they kind of go AWOL together, and they're off trying to do... basically, I think they're off doing their own scouting thing and trying to find a world. And that's pretty much where the book... It's not a very long book. Like, Darth Vader #1 was a lot longer.
Right. It was like a double size, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. I'd kind of been on the fence about picking that one up. I know I'd picked up the Star Wars and Darth Vader, and I mean, it sounds interesting enough, but I don't know.
I don't. I like it. I plan on picking up all the Star Wars stuff they do. Like when Kanan, the Last Padawan, comes out in April, I'll probably end up picking that up too.
Oh,
that
yeah.
ties into the Star Wars Rebels
animated
series.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Yavin Metal ceremony, I saw. On the internet, somebody made their own, like, definitive cut of Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
and they digitally added a medal in for Chewie.
Oh, nice. See, I always was under the impression that, you know, he didn't get the medal, but he got the last line in the movie.
Yeah.
It's true. But again, you know, it's the whole, you know, that galaxy is awfully xenophobic.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I also, after a long hiatus, I started playing Marvel... Heroes again.
I popped into that the other day.
Yeah, I ended up unlocking Venom.
Cool.
And it's a lot of fun.
I got Black Widow the other day. I got a random hero unlock. Yeah, I got that's Black Widow.
Yeah, I am, oh God, I can't remember. I'm like level like, I think I'm like almost level like 15 or 16 or something now. And I have a, like a whole bunch of cosmic gear.
Nice.
Oh yeah, for like high-end items drop like crazy in the game.
Huh.
It's ridiculous.
I had maxed out a Daredevil a while ago, but then they raised the cap, so he's not maxed out anymore. And I hate that when they change something in the way your special move tree is, they just dump all your points and you have to reapply them. It's like, I don't remember what moves were good or what I used to use. Like, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun than I remember it. They've changed a lot of stuff, and they've added a lot of stuff.
Well, speaking of Star Wars, I've been playing the Old Republic, the Star Wars MMO. Man, that is a good game.
The idea was great. I mean, it was very ambitious. I can kind of understand why it went free to play, though.
Yeah, I mean, I just like the story, like playing through the storylines, like it was a single player game.
Well, yeah, I think they did a good job of that, you know, because each little scene is the thing, and you can choose your dialogue tree. And
yeah, instead of just going up to a quest and getting a window with some text in it and saying, kill 3 wildebeests, there's actually a cutscene where a character explains what they want you to do and why, and you can choose your reaction to what they're saying. You can be a tough, space tough guy, or you can, you know, be concerned about what is wrong. Like, you actually get to role play your character, kind of like you would in
the other Old Republic games.
Yeah, or any BioWare game like Mass Effect or.
Yeah, and I like how it's all fully voiced over.
Yeah.
But I know you were talking about the other day how, like, you're kind of mad that, like, you're just doing your job as a bounty hunter and it's just giving you dark side points.
Yeah, giving me dark side points for killing the bounties I'm supposed to kill. I was like, I'm just trying to do my job.
But at the same time, though, bounty hunter is a Sith Empire.
Yeah, it is a bad guy class for some reason. I don't understand that.
I don't know. When I played it before, I was bounty hunter for a long time, and then I also made a Sith Inquisitor or something like that. Yeah, and I was running around on Korriban.
Yeah, I think I just started one of those, and I used to play Smuggler, too. That was the first class I went with Smuggler, because why wouldn't you want to be Han Solo?
That's true. What else have I done? Oh, I've been trying to catch up on Steven Universe. YouTube has been a great asset to me.
Such a great show.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Oh my God, it's getting so deep.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The character writing is just amazing.
Well, I like that, and I like how every character is unique, like the way they look and everything. I mean, come on, you got Lars at the donut shop with the big... With the big
gauged
out ears.
Yeah.
And nobody is normal. Like, everyone is a different body type. Everyone is just interesting.
Yeah.
There are no just cookie-cut characters. And I think that's the one thing I like the most about it. And then the writing is just solid.
It's one of the best-written kids shows I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, but it's almost not kid. Like, it's about as much kiddie as Adventure Time is sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the ones I just watched was where Garnet and Amethyst fuse into a Sugalite.
Oh yeah, that's voiced by Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, and the dance that Garnet does, I was like, what? Especially the ending little flare thing.
Oh yeah, and then Pearl covers Steven's eyes.
He's like, what? I want to see. But that's pretty much been all of my check it out.
Okay, I just have something really quick so we can move on. I've been watching a whole bunch of old DVDs because I finally got them out of boxes and got them up and displayed, and I went through and watched the old Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat Annihilation movies.
Mortal Kombat!
Yeah. You know, for what it is, Mortal Kombat is not too bad.
No, I love the first movie. It's great.
The first movie's pretty good. I mean, you can't go wrong with Christopher Lambert, the Highlander, supposed to be playing
a Chinese Thunder God.
Chinese Thunder God, yeah. And his weird, like, weird accented laugh. Like
that he's always done in every movie he's ever been.
Every movie. It's like he has an accent on his laugh. It's crazy. But some interesting stuff about that. I guess at one point they're going to cast, what's his name? Brandon Lee, the Crow,
yeah,
as Johnny Cage. and he was like the movie that they were going to, he was going to do after The Crow, but unfortunately,
you know, he passed away while filming The Crow.
Yeah, but and Cameron Diaz was supposed to be Sonya Blade, but she sprained her wrist or something before filming, so they had to like default to like whoever it was that ended up playing her.
Whoever it was that nobody knows.
It could have been a completely different movie if they would have had the, you know, yeah, a bigger cast. Mortal Kombat Annihilation, this is the first time I'd seen it. I bought it in a like a 4-pack.
Really? That was the first time you'd seen it?
First time I'd seen it.
Oh, man, I wish I would have been here for that.
And it was as perfectly serviceable and pretty decent, the first one was. Annihilation is garbage. It is quite possibly one of the worst movies I've seen in a long time. The effects, I've seen YouTube videos, like, not even, like, high-quality YouTube videos, but just, like, you know, shot on a GoPro YouTube videos with better special effects and better cinematography than, like, the green screen shots are so apparent.
Oh, yeah, and, like, some, like, the acting and delivery is just awful.
Man,
like, Katana's mom.
Oh, God, yeah. That was pretty bad.
Mother, you're alive. Too bad. You die.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Oof,
it's rough. It's rough.
The recasting of Raiden.
As James Remar.
killing Johnny Cage, like, in the first 2 seconds
of
the film.
Oh, yeah, he's gone within the very beginning, yeah. Robin Lowe, Lau?
Not Rob Lowe.
No, not Rob Lowe. Literally not Rob Lowe. No, Robin, I think it's Robin Lau, I think his name is. Yeah. He was
Liu Kang.
He's the only one that came back. Like, he's the only one.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just want to throw in, I also watched The Shadow with Alec Baldwin.
I love that movie.
It's great. I forgot that Tim Curry was in it.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, I forgot that Ian McKellen is in it.
Yep.
It's like right at that precipice, right? Like, as Alec Baldwin was transitioning from leading man to, like, comedy guy.
Yeah.
Like, there were some deliveries that I swear are Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock.
Well, Bruce Wayne as
Lamont Cranston,
is kind of
basically just Jack Donaghy talking about things.
Yeah.
You know.
But
I'm clouding men's minds, you know. Lemon.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Alec Baldwin knows.
Yeah. But no, really good. And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, the one where they go back in time.
Yeah.
Lord Noriaga, the Chinese guy.
Yeah.
Or Japanese guy, sorry.
Yeah.
He is in The Shadow. Yeah, I didn't realize, you know, if one of those things.
He was in a lot of films, actually, like in the 90s.
He was, yeah. But no, it's an easy mark for people to say, oh, man, look how bad this is. But you got to understand, in the 90s, the only template that they had, the only thing they had to go off of for superhero-based films was Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah.
That was it.
Well, that and, like, you got to think The Shadow and Phantom.
Yeah.
And Rocketeer are all based off old pulp comic heroes.
Yeah.
I mean, they are kind of cheesy because they come from the
30s. That was kind of the point. Yeah. And like I said, it's easy to make fun of it. It's easy for, you know, websites or whatever to let go. Oh, look how garbage this is compared to now. Well, yeah, of course it is. But
it's a superhero movie from the 90s.
It's still a legitimate, you know, film. And I'm,
oh, no,
you know,
I like it. I've always liked that movie. And the Billy Zane Phantom and the Rocketeer. Those are all, they hold special places in my heart.
Oh, man. The Phantom, when I was a kid, there for like 6 months solid, all I would do was play with Legos and watch The Phantom. And now, whenever I watch The Phantom, I swear, every time I get, in the back of my head, I get this inkling to go, man, I should dig out some Legos. I should build some stuff. That seems like a good idea.
I wanted a ring that shot laser, a skull ring that shot laser beams.
Oh, man,
so
that would be cool.
Bad.
Yeah. Oh, man, Xander Drax.
Xander Drax.
God, that's such a great villain name. Talk about a movie with James Remar in it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, come full circle. Full circle, you guys. But yeah, and Catherine Zeta-Jones was in the Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of her first roles. Crazy.
Oh, man. Those are they're cheesy, but those are such fun movies.
Oh, they're great. You know what? The cheesier the better, as far as
I know, right?
Yeah.
I always liked how in The Shadow, I think they put a prosthetic on Alec Baldwin's nose.
Oh, they
nose
did, yeah.
To make him, give him that hooked nose like the Phantom had in the comics.
Uh-huh.
And on the cover of the pulp novels.
Yeah. Oh, when he's in costume, I mean, he's barely in costume. And when yeah. he is, he's usually hiding himself. But when he's in costume, he looks good. He looks like the Phantom.
Shadow.
Or the Shadow. Sorry, the Shadow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He looked... Billy Zane looked good as the Phantom, too. So,
yeah.
You know,
well,
it's okay.
Big purple spandex and a black and a black domino mask.
Yeah.
I had a Shadow action figure when I was a kid.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. There was a button on the back, and you could draw the two pistols.
I had a Shaywan Khan. I had the bad guy.
Yeah.
With like, the Wolverine claws.
Yeah. And there was a thing on the top of the head, and when you shined a light through it, it mm-hmm. made his eyes glow red.
Oh,
so
that's
he was
cool.
So he was doing the clouding the hearts of, or the minds of men thing.
Oh, man, that is so cool.
Once in a while, I run across it, like, at conventions and stuff. And I
oh,
was like,
yeah.
I was like, do I want to bring back the nostalgia a little bit? I don't know,
man.
But then I never do.
Yeah. See, I loved, you know, I had plenty of action figures when I was a kid, but I remember being in stores and just staring at, like, all the movie tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
Like the weird knockoff, like, 2 points of articulation, like, like cheapos. Like, the Last Action Hero action figures, I had, like, 3 or 4 of those
Dude,
things. And it's just Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
that's it.
The Last Action Hero, like, the toy car was the best. Like, that gold convertible.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
you could push this button, and this little lever would come out the bottom to pull the angled thing where he's driving in between cars in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
I love that movie.
It is a great movie,
too. It's a good movie, too, yeah.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a cartoon character playing a cartoon character.
Yeah, basically. But no, really good movie. And that's another one of those. Isn't that a Shane Black movie? Isn't that the guy who did Die Hard?
I think it is,
like
yeah.
That? Yeah. It was like a whole deconstruction of like the action movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when he makes it to the real world and he like tries to do things that work in movies that don't work in real
oh, yeah.
life. And the kid's like, it doesn't work like that. He's like shooting at a car. It's like, why didn't it blow up?
Or like the scene where they go to the video rental place.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah,
the
yeah.
movie. And they come across like a standee for Terminator 2.
And it's Sylvester Stallone.
It's Stallone. Like in the, like dressed up like the Terminator.
Yeah. And yeah. like Schwarzenegger like makes the comment like it's like one of his best movies yet or something like
yeah,
that.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. But no, God. Such a good movie.
Plus, that has Danny DeVito as the cartoon character. Literally, as
the cartoon cat. Yeah, the cat sidekick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they do a whole, like, Roger Rabbit thing.
Yeah.
And then the villain with, like, the interchangeable fake eyes.
Yes. Oh, that scene where he pops out of the movie and he, like, shoots a homeless guy in the street. He's in the real world.
Yeah.
And he's just standing there with a gun going, I have shot a man in cold blood for $15. Is anyone going to come arrest me? And, you know, someone just yells, shut up, you
yeah.
or whatever. And he realizes, in the real world, the bad guys can win.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the greatest, like, revelation kind of for him. Yeah, it's great to watch. Oh, man.
I feel like we could do, like, a whole show on, like, the greatness of 90s movies.
We probably could. You know, we probably could. But anyway, you know what? I think we're going to go ahead and take a break here and come back with a little bit of news and stuff.
All right.
Nerd Overload would like to thank IDE Computers for their support. With over 19 years of service, IDE is located on Delaware Avenue, Marion, 387-3376.
Nerd Overload is brought to you in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and more. Replays is a place for all your gaming needs, from retro up through current gen systems and accessories. They even have a free customer rewards program. Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, across from the Marion Plaza. 751-4072 or online at facebook.com/replaysmarion. And we're back. That was the X-Files theme. The truth is out there. And speaking of the truth, got some hot truth right here. The X-Files is coming back.
Oh, snap!
Is it this year or next?
I think it's next year.
Next year.
It's coming back for 6 episodes?
Yeah, only 6 episodes, which...
As of right now.
Yeah, which is kind of disappointing. Like, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but that's not enough.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that David Duchovny and...
Gillian Anderson?
Yeah, are coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling that 6 episodes might bump up a little bit. I think they're going to wait and see what... Honestly, I think they're going to wait and see what Twin Peaks does.
Like, right now...
Because that's another, like,
right
similar...
now, Twin Peaks is kind of in a...
a limbo-y situation.
Yeah. Like, they said they were coming back, but now it's a very unknown if they're coming back. A lot of it has to do with, I guess, one part is funding, which I don't understand why they just don't crowdfund it. Mm-hmm. And then the other part, I think, is some people are...
Yeah, there's. I think they're having contractual disputes.
Yeah, like, you know, casting issues.
Because David Lynch said recently maybe it's not going to happen. So.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know, right?
I feel like Showtime will make it work, though, because they seemed pretty excited about bringing it back. I mean, they tweeted out about it and stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're the ones that Showtime were the ones who broke the news. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they were like the rumblings before, but then they're like, they brought the truth of the best damn coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's swing back around to X-Files again. What kind of things do you think we should expect from this new series?
I feel like since it's only 6 episodes, it's going to be dealing heavily with the continuing storyline that the X-Files has.
You mean like post-movie kind of stuff?
Yeah, and the whole conspiracies and the... Like, you're not going to get your fun Monster of the Week episodes, which are my favorite ones.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest bummer about it being 6 episodes for me is that we're not going to get those neat filler episodes.
Yeah, those are my favorite X-Files episodes. It's just the filler ones where they deal with some sort of monster or mutant.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I remember there's the one with the Jersey... Like, I think it's like the second episode of the first season or whatever. It's like the Jersey Devil, but it's like just feral people living in the woods. And they end up chasing that the female through like the city and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there was one with they thought they got an alien, and like Mulder was like so excited because they had like an alien body on the autopsy table, and it turns out, and like Scully like pulls back a piece of it, and there's like a zipper, and it was a person in a costume, and it like you could literally see his heart breaking on screen.
What was the one with the circus performers? There's one where they go investigate a bunch of circus performers, and it turns out somebody has like a twin inside of them that can disconnect from their body and was going out and killing people.
Wow.
It was a really good, really creepy one.
Ooh.
What's that worm guy?
Oh, the fluke worm monster guy. That's a classic. The big, like, white worm man.
Seriously, look up a picture of him. It is scary.
Yeah. It was the greatest show. I love the X-Files. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad it's back.
Yeah, definitely.
Even if it is just temporary.
Yeah.
Again, these 6 episodes might go over great. They might come back for more.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's enough people out there that feel nostalgia for it that we're just going to like, who's even doing it? What network or
what? It's Fox.
Oh, Fox, okay.
So there's a 75% chance it's going to end after 5 episodes. And they'll play them out of order. They'll play the last one first because it tracks better.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, switching gears from shows that are coming back to shows that are not happening, Nintendo has gone kind of back on their word on this Legends of Zelda Netflix series.
Yeah, the president of Nintendo, Iwata. I can't remember what his first name is.
Mr.
Iwata-san.
Yeah,
he just flat out said no. That's not a thing that's happening.
Well, he didn't flat out say no. He said
it was just a rumor.
It's a rumor, and nothing's in development at this time. I think they didn't commit to it being like no, this is never going to happen. The end. But
it's not happening right now.
Yeah, it's not a sure thing like everybody thought it was.
Yeah,
which I'm pretty okay with it.
Oh, sure.
I was a little on the fence of a live-action Zelda series anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about it when the news first broke, but yeah.
I feel like maybe we dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like watching crap. I don't care.
Yeah, like, if it was bad, at least it'd be funny.
Exactly.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, at least we still have, you know, the cartoon.
Yeah. But, but we are getting that that Mario animated series, though. Or, no, animated movie.
No, I thought that wasn't a given either.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that.
I was under the impression that it was a signed deal.
No, I don't think it is. I think I read somewhere it's not anymore. But they were working on a deal with Sony Pictures Animation to do a Mario animated movie. But I think Nintendo squashed that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, fine then. No non-video game IPs then.
Well, it doesn't make sense for Sony to make a Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah. They can base it off the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yeah.
Find a replacement for Captain Lou Albano.
And Danny Wells.
Oh, and Danny Wells. Yeah, that's right. They're both gone, aren't they? Man.
Swing your arms side to side.
The only remaining Mario brother is John Leguizamo.
That's true.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah.
He's the Highlander of Mario Brothers.
There could be only one Mario brother. He has all the memories and all the skills of all the other Marios.
It was the year of Luigi.
Yeah. Yeah, Danny Wells died during the year.
That's
Luigi.
Right, he did, like, didn't he?
That's dark.
Yeah,
oh,
it really
man.
Is.
Yeah, let's move on.
If you think about it, the Sony Mario Brothers movie could have just been like a long way around to sabotage Nintendo.
Yeah,
like they could have made it real, real bad on purpose, so in hopes that it would affect games. But as a way to boost the PlayStation.
Yeah. I don't think the PlayStation was even out yet when that came out.
Talking about the new one.
Oh,
the original.
Oh.
The animated one.
Oh, okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down now.
Let's talk about comics.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Marvel Comics recently unveiled the cover of their all new, quote unquote, all new, all different Avengers.
Yeah, this is going to be post their big continuity reset.
Yeah, post.
Battle
new,
World.
Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Post-New Secret Wars.
Yeah. And we talked last week about how Marvel was canceling 33 books, and there was a worry. And a lot of people were worried because the majority of the books were...
like their brand new stuff.
The brand new stuff. A lot of their books that had that was female-led or, outside of their classic lineup, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
The stuff that people are familiar with.
Yeah, like the Falcon, Captain America, the female Thor,
The new Miss Marvel.
Yeah,
that stuff.
And people were worried that because of the universe reboot, everything was going to go back to status quo, and we're going to lose everything.
All the changes they just made.
Well, the cover for the new Avengers book pretty well squashed any of those fears.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I'm beyond happy.
I'm pulling up the cover of it right now. On the cover, we have Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan. We have Nova, the Kid Nova, the one that was
Sam Alexander,
the one that was being written by Jerry Duggan, who also was doing Deadpool and about a half dozen other books.
Yeah, and also appears in the Ultimate Spider-Man animated series on Disney.
Right. Fun fact: Jerry Duggan used to be a director on the G4 channel's Attack of the Show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Marvel Comics is his gig after G4 closed.
I miss G4.
Oh, yeah, me too. But anyway, back on target. We have the Vision, which makes sense with the new Avengers movie coming out.
We'll actually finally get a live-action Vision, yeah.
Yeah. We have the Falcon, Captain America.
Sam Wilson.
Yep, we have the female Thor.
Who's yet to be revealed who she is.
But I've heard by the time this comic comes out,
we'll know
who she is.
Okay.
And let's see, an Iron Man-looking character, which people have speculated is either Iron Man or Pepper Potts, who has recently become a superhero called Rescue. Her armor is all non-lethal.
Yeah, she's a medical, basically a medical support character.
Yeah, basically.
And what appears to be like Duke's hand.
Well, that's there. It looks like that's probably the
Slimer.
I wish there were Slimer. That would be great. No, it's
the Hulk.
He's atomic powered. He's like
radioactive man from The Simpsons.
Yeah, like radiation man or radioactive man or something like that.
Okay.
And we also have Spider-Man, but it's Miles Morales
from
the Ultimate Universe, which is a kind of a big deal.
Yeah, because the Ultimate Universe was getting destroyed in the comic storyline.
Right, and we've talked about this plenty of times. So what do you guys think of this lineup?
That's a pretty awesome lineup. I'll read it.
I'm excited. I'm glad they're keeping some of their changes. I feel like they've listened to the fans a little bit, and I understand they want to go back to what average people are going to know from what they've seen in the movies and stuff like that, but I'm really glad they're keeping their changes.
Yeah,
it's cool to see Kamala Khan move into like the wider continuity too.
Yeah, she's pretty much been just kind of stuck to her own book,
and she also did appear in issue 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, true.
But I'm happy. I'm extremely happy. That makes me wonder if they're going to have a different Avengers team with other characters that are maybe more...
What was the A-Force, too?
Oh, yeah, A-Force. That's the all-female-led.
Yep, She-Hulk and all them.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me kind of wonder what exactly is going to happen with the Avengers team they have now with, like, Superior Iron Man and Angela and all them.
I imagine a version of that team is also going to be, you know, a separate book.
It's called The Avengers for Boring People.
Yeah, right.
They don't like change.
Yeah, but no, in all honesty, yeah, there's going to be a comic that is going to be closer tied to the Avengers movie. They're going to have a lineup that's more of that core, you know,
like
main Thor,
Ant-Man, Steve
Iron
Rogers.
Man. Yeah, Hawkeye, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, Hawkeye, yay.
Yeah.
They should just do a cinematic universe line that maybe has, you know, maybe put a red binding around the side so you know this is a cinematic universe book.
Well, that's
or something.
That's the whole point of this
reboot thing. Is they're cutting down their universes to one prime universe.
Yeah, they had the Ultimates, which, for all intents and purposes,
was essentially the cinematic universe.
The setup cinematic universe. That's where we got, you know, Sam Jackson, because they drew Nick Fury to look like Sam Jackson in the comic.
There are so many things, especially in some of the movies. There were scenes that were directly pulled from the Ultimate storyline.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Like when in the first Thor movie, when he's basically under arrest and Loki just kind of comes to visit him and no one else can see Loki, that's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
The container that Loki drops out of the helicarrier with the Hulk, with Thor inside it.
Yeah.
That's in the Ultimate book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was basically all just what they pulled from.
It's not clear to the consumer that's walking out of the movies and wants to buy a comic, like, how are they supposed to know they want the Ultimate?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, I understand that, and I understand all the moves they're making, but I'm just glad that this version of the characters that I've been excited about for the past year are sticking around, at least for a little while longer. Well, speaking of other comic news, some rumblings from the DC universe are starting to pop up.
Oh, the movies, right?
Yeah. They're live-action films.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Let's get into this topic again.
All aboard the complaint train.
Awesome. Well, first off, they released an image of Jesse Eisenberg as
Lex Luthor.
As Lex Luthor.
But yeah, Facebook boy is Lex Luthor.
Yeah, and I am happy to say he is bald.
Yeah,
he
got that right.
Pretty much exactly how I expected.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I expected his head to look so big.
I did.
He looks like a potato head.
He does. He really, really does.
You know, some people look okay bald.
He
is not someone who looks okay bald.
Like, okay, comparing this to what, like, Vincent D'Onofrio looks like as Kingpin in the Daredevil Netflix series that's coming out.
Vincent D'Onofrio is a convincing bald man.
He is. He looks okay. With crazy hair from Law and Order or with this bald head, he looks fine. Mark Zuckerberg clone, he looks ridiculous.
Yeah. He is a pencil-thin mustache away from looking like Egghead from the 60s Batman show.
Played by Vincent Price.
Yes.
Insert all egg puns here, because they were all said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty excruciating before the show.
Yep.
Score one for Sam right there. Yep.
Ding.
But along with that, there's a leak of a potential portion of the movie story. That the reason why it's Batman versus Superman or Superman versus Batman is that at some point in the movie, the first meeting of Superman and Batman is when Superman flies to Gotham at the behest of Lex Luthor to beat the tar out of Batman. So in this movie, we're going to have at one point Superman working for Lex Luthor, working for the bad guy. How wrong can they get this movie? I swear, it's like they're trying to make it the worst movie possible now. I don't understand.
I feel like with every step forward they make, they take at least 10 backwards.
Have they made any forward steps?
They're not making forward steps.
I like the Batman costume. And I liked the pictures of the Batmobile.
Which I hear is going to show up for exactly one scene until Superman punches it in half.
Yay, God.
Yeah, exactly.
You're killing me, Warner Brothers Smalls.
Yeah.
It's going to be awful. We're still going to see it, but it's going to be awful.
Oh, my God. At this point, yeah, I will go see it just because it is going to be the worst. It's going to be real bad.
Hey, you know, people complaining about Ben Affleck playing Batman because how bad Daredevil was. You're going to have a new replacement.
And there's at least 10 years worth of movies that are set to spin off from this. So the next 10 years of Justice League related DC movies are all going to be like this.
Or this just fails so hard that it destroys all of their plans for a solid 10 years and they got nothing.
All of the contracts that they're signing with the signed on actors are like for multiple, like 5-6. So if Warner Brothers is going to have to shell out, like, you know, buy out their contracts or whatever so that the movies don't get made, or they're just going to have to pump out a ton of terrible movies.
Well, it's not like they haven't been pumping out terrible movies for a while now.
Yeah,
anyway.
True.
Especially when it comes to their comic book universe.
Yeah. And the last thing about this, it's more rumor than news. I almost didn't want to report on it. But the actor Tyrese Gibson, he's an actor. He's a former model. He's a
musician.
I think, although that might be someone else named Tyrese. I'm not quite sure at this point.
It's not going to help things.
He's been lobbying really hard to play Green Lantern. He's really into the idea of being Green Lantern. And the other day, he had on his Instagram a Photoshop of him in a Green Lantern costume saying, you know, reading the oath, see you soon. And then it was immediately taken down like an hour later. Huh. So it could have just been him like being overzealous on him. Like,
yeah, just goofing
off. Or... he could have been actually cast as John Stewart, Green Lantern, and got a little overexcited about sharing it with people. And Warner Brothers is like, no, not yet.
No.
We still have another, you know, 6 months worth of bad news to put out before we can announce it. Yeah. Which, if this happens, if he is cast, that means the entirety of the Justice League has been cast.
Has there been a Flash?
There has been a Flash. I'm going to look up his name right now. He is someone that I have never heard the name of, to be honest. You guys keep talking.
I'm still mad the fact that they're not pulling their television series actors into it. I really enjoy Grant Gustin as Barry Allen.
It's never going to happen.
I know.
It's never going to happen.
I know, but it's still stupid.
And it makes no sense to me why they don't tie in the TV.
They're successful and good TV shows.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And the fact, you know, Marvel's doing it, and it's working really well for them.
Yeah.
I mean, when AKA Jessica Jones come out, that'll be the fourth Marvel series that ties into everything. Because you got, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D., and you've got Agent Carter, the Daredevil series, and then Jessica Jones. It feels like, God, that bald head is ridiculous.
Yep, there's another picture of it. Woo, that's bad.
Did they dye his eyebrows gray?
I think they did.
Why would they do that?
Because everything in those movies is gray.
Everything must be gray and dark brown.
Gray Lantern.
That's it.
But yeah, the TV shows are so good, and these movies sound so bad. Like, even iZombie continues to be good. There was a new episode this week.
Yeah, it was on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was really good. Continues to be entertaining shows.
Yeah, I shut it off right when it started because I still hadn't watched the first one. I was like, oh, nope.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of at the point where you would pick up. And there was a huge recap in the beginning.
Sometimes I feel like the whole reason they gave Aquaman the scale tattoos is because Jason Momoa actually has those tattoos on his arm.
Yeah, I'm kind of suspecting that as well. Scoot McNairy.
Scoot.
What?
His name is Scoot McNairy. He's either the Flash or Jimmy Olsen. Remember when we reported, this was a long time ago, that this actor, Scoot McNairy, was walking around on set with, like, green screen on his calves and feet, and how it was either he was the Flash running fast, and that was how they were doing the CG, or Jimmy Olsen was crippled in the fight in Metropolis. Remember when we talked about that?
Yeah.
How in this movie universe, Superman may have actively crippled
his best pal.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Well, did you see Metropolis at the end of that film? It was gone. It was like Tokyo at the end of the original Godzilla.
It was pretty rough.
Well, moving on from the terrible movie news and more into more television news.
The Warner Brothers superhero complaint train segment is done.
We pulled into the station.
Imagination.
The complations.
Complation station?
Yeah.
Well, as I've said, Netflix a lot. Netflix here lately has been picking up a lot of series, like from all over the spectrum, and it's been great.
Yeah.
You know, but now they are reviving a cartoon classic, at least as far as I'm concerned, because I loved it when I was a kid. And it did spawn two awful movies. The cyborg goofy inspector himself, Inspector Gadget, is getting a new series on Netflix, and it's completely computer-generated animations.
Okay, I've seen screen tests of this.
Yep. They've released a trailer today, actually, of what it's going to be. And it definitely seems to be more of a future take on the series.
Yeah.
Like, Penny's got some kind of, like, crazy, like, holographic floating notebook thing. But I'm not sure how I feel about it. Yeah, Chief Quimby's like popping out of random places and
like usual.
Yeah, like usual, and giving Gadget his missions, and I'm sure Brain and Penny will be the ones actually making the saves versus.
Well, sure.
That's the whole formula of the series.
If they have Inspector Gadget actually solve a crime by himself, that is like the opposite of what
the show. That would be the shark jumping moment,
yeah,
for Inspector Gadget.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not sure how it could be great. You know, I feel kind of bad that I'm automatically predisposed to not like it because of the CG. I don't know. I think it's because that's the cranky old man in me, not liking change.
I think that TV CG has come a long way.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, it's definitely come.
Jimmy Neutron days.
You want to talk about, what about Reboot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Reboot.
Reboot, Transformers Beast Wars.
Oh, man.
Beast Machines was even worse.
Rough. That's rough stuff. Now, am I right in believing that the CGI is done in France? Wasn't, because I read, I thought for some reason it's stuck in my head that the animation company that helped on like Despicable Me and like did those really creepy McDonald's like Happy Meal box commercials.
Those things are terrifying.
Did they already get rid of those? I feel like maybe
No. I still see them every once in a while.
They're still around.
But for some reason, I thought that animation house was also doing. Inspector Gadget.
I think they're Blue Sky.
Blue Sky. I think, yeah, because the original Inspector Gadget was animated in France.
Well, yeah, I would expect that, especially the fact that he's called Inspector Gadget and not like Detective Gadget. Yeah. Inspector is definitely a more European kind of law enforcement title.
Yeah. Detective Gadget sounds weird. I don't like that.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's so wrong.
I don't know. Who knows? It could be great. Not that the original Inspector Gadget was all that great.
Yeah, I remember it being one of those shows that, like, I didn't really like it as a kid, but I would watch it because it was on and it was animated.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great for me when I was.
Oh yeah, I loved it. I wore a VHS tape out. Like, seriously, it had two episodes on it. The whole tape was called like Trouble in Time or something like that, and it was two episodes where they went back in time. One to caveman days and met caveman Inspector Gadget ancestor with
awesome.
with Flintstones-esque technology, like sticks tied to each other coming out of his tiger skin hat.
Nice. Excellent.
And then they went to Roman gladiator times and met Gadgetus.
Inspecticus Gadgetus?
Yes, it was seriously. It was something that cheesy. Basically, they were chasing mad agents through time. Mm. And, like, getting help from ancestors. Yeah. And then random villains from that era. Yeah.
Now, the screen test that I watched didn't have any of the voice actors. Did the one that you, that the trailer that you
watched?
It had
talking, yeah.
It had talking?
Yeah, it had.
Does he sound like Inspector Gadget? Does he sound like Don Adams?
Kinda. I mean, everyone sounds kind of weird. Like, Chief Quimby's voice is not as deep as I would like it. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's all kind of weird. And you see Dr. Claw for, like, 2 seconds.
Would you say they missed it by that much?
I can't make that that thing just yet.
Okay.
It's too soon. But it comes out March 27th. So
okay.
Tomorrow.
Hey.
Well, check it out tomorrow on Netflix.
Yesterday, actually.
What? Oh, yeah. Oh,
because this is Saturday.
Oh, that's right. It yeah. would be Saturday.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I've broken...
We pulled back the curtain.
No. I've broken the fourth wall.
Yeah. No, this show is live. Hi.
How you doing?
Yeah. You know what? I think we should go ahead and wrap it up here. We're pretty close to the hour, I think. Again, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thanks for listening.
You can find us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/Nerd Overload website.
There we go.
I just write it on the wall.
We probably should.
Just paint it on the wall.
You can also go to nerdoverload.com. We're going to have content on the site soon, I promise.
Yeah, it's been a rough week for the website, but we're going to get back on it.
Yeah, yeah. Twitter, in theory, we're on Twitter, at @nerd_overload. I'm at Robot Caveman.
At Bearded Midgetor.
At N.O. Cody P.
All right. I think that does it. Again, thanks for tuning in. Check us out next week around 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And Saturdays at 9.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and IDE Computers.